morning, brothers. There was a sister back here. I hope you didn't scare her away. You know? Good morning. We are so glad to have you all back again. Once again, I apologize for the weather. It's normally a lot better than this here in Malibu. I know some of you from Oklahoma are missing a few tornadoes. Some of you are missing some snow in Denver. Some of you are missing, I don't know what else, hot, sweaty weather, South Florida, or on the border over there in El Paso, but this is kind of, you know, a bad day in Malibu. But we are thrilled to begin our day this morning together. We're continuing what I think is a very exciting track. I'm thankful to Mike Cope for asking if he thought something like this would be beneficial to our brothers and sisters throughout the United States, and I said, oh, absolutely. And he said, well, I want to give you a really good classroom. I want you somewhere where people can find you. And so maybe where they can keep an eye on us as well. But I am grateful. Yesterday we had two classes, one entitled Not Your Abuela's Church, looking at some of the fundamental changes that are taking place in the Latino community in the United States, particularly looking at young families and young adults in the United States that are Latino. We talked about reaching a new generation of Latino immigrants. My brother Scott Emery from Great Cities Ministry. And this morning, my brother Sixto Rivera from Genesis Alliance will be talking about the transnational nature of Hispanic ministry that some of us are familiar with who work in Latino ministries. Some of us are not as familiar with the new world that we live in thanks to the digital world, the internet, and just the facility, how easy it is to travel back and forth these days between the United States and countries of origin. After that, we have a break, and at 9:30, we will have another class facilitated by my brother Tim Brindley and my compadre Manuel Magos from the North County Church in Escondido. We don't want you to miss that, so please stick around for that. And then I'll tell you a little bit more about the classes for tomorrow morning. But I don't want to take any more time from my dear brother Sixto Rivera, who is working in the Dallas area. His ministry is very exciting for some, counterintuitive, but I think in many ways, coming from Hollywood, I like to say it's a preview of coming attractions. And so I'd just like you to bow with me for a moment as we give thanks to God for this very special time together. Dear God and Father of our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ, bendito Dios Padre Eterno, te damos gracias por este día tan hermoso que podemos estar aquí a nombre tuyo. Dear Lord, we thank you for this chance to be together in the name of Jesus. We pray that this morning you will be with our brother Sixto. You will help him, Father, to open our eyes and open our hearts to what you can do in our Latino communities and among Latinos here in this country and even abroad. Father, we're grateful for this man of God, and we pray that you will use him today to be a blessing to us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Sixto, please
come forward and bless us. Well, thank you. Brother Tim just asked me, you know, if you're going to speak in English, and I said, if my English is English, yes. And just a few weeks back, OBU had their lectureships, and I spoke there also, and one of the students asked me, do you have trouble speaking English? I said, no. But there are some people that have trouble understanding me. So I'm happy to be here. And, Brother Dan, it is a blessing, I think, that universities like Pepperdine is opening up to this type of classes, vision, mission, backing. In 98, 99, I went out asking, you know, two questions. And I went to universities like Harding, ICU, OCU. I was asking, you know, what are you doing to reach out the Latinos, to evangelize the Latinos in the U.S.? And the answer was nothing. What can we do about it? And they would say, we don't know. And that is literally, you know, the answers that I got from these three universities. So at that point, I said, okay, if nobody knows what to do, I can claim myself as an expert. And literally, I decided, you know, to start searching, not knowing what. And the reason that I was that I decided, you know, to look for something is because I have been working in a traditional way, and I have planted two churches so far in the 90s, until this point, and I was not happy. The churches was growing and it was good, but I was not pleased with what I was doing. Later, in 2000, I moved to Saturn Road, and I met Bro Brad, who was the youth minister at that point there, and it was a beautiful ministry. In 4 years, we reached, you know, close to 200 people. We baptized, you know, 101 people during those years. And it was just beautiful. I see, you know, the church growing. But I still not convinced, because there was one problem that I saw in that. And that was that everything was around me. Mm-hmm. And I said, there is something not right. And what I had done there, you know, was what I did was create, you know, ministries, and getting, you know, everybody involved. And it was beautiful. But I didn't like the picture that everything was around me. So by 2002, I decided, you know, to start looking more intentional. What is it that is missing in this picture? And I've been blessed. I've been blessed going through so many trainings with Nexus, with Missions Alive, with Coach by Leadership Network, and CPM, and others. So I have learned something that is, at the end, I would just say, is this what we're missing? And I can tell you, you know, 30 things that we do, you know, in Genesis Alliance that is making a huge difference. And one is Luke 10. Verse 2, where our Lord Jesus said, you know, the harvest is plentiful, workers are few. And then he said, pray. And pray change people's life. And I don't mean the people outside the church, inside the church, Christians. And I can tell you stories and stories about that. And then the second one, it's right next to you in verse 3 where Jesus says, go. And we think about, you know, how we have changed that. We don't tell people, Christians, go. Christians tell non-Christians, come. Mm-hmm. And that's changed the whole scenario. So we are not obedience when you think about it. So we're in this comfort zone, waiting here for people to come. And that doesn't do the work. And the third one, in verse 5 and 6, says, say to those people in those house, peace to you. Mm-hmm. If there are people of peace, your peace will rest on them. So the point there is that we work only with people of peace. And boy, that has changed my ministry. I don't have to waste time with people who are not ready. Just look, you know, for those who are ready. So having said that, I want to tell you that during this time, you know, that I was thinking about what Jesus said, you know, go. And I said, how is it that I struggle so much with just one segment of the population, Latino population in a city, how about beyond? And I said, if I can't handle actually just a segment, a few people, 100 or so people, how can I do more? So those questions, you know, came to me, what is it that we are missing? And again, through the process, the answers I find them right there in the gospel. And the lacking, the part that's lacking is we are not obedience. We're not. So it has been a great journey, and I'm glad that here are some people, you know, that knows firsthand what we are doing in part. Kevin knows some. Brad also knows, and there are some other Hochis who know some. But this is what's going on. In our time, the church, the leaders, I believe, we have created, either we have, or somebody did, created a box and has put us in it and make us to think to make us work. I just came out from the Eastern European breakfast, and one was there and said, this is how we do work normally. We develop this plan and we tell God, bless it. Mm-hmm. And he was saying, we need to do it the other way around. We just need to join God. But how we do that? That's a question. A big one. So I'm going to give you, you know, some answers on that. And I'm going to tell you what the exciting thing that is going on right now. So when I'm looking, you know, when I work with people, is how can I give their mind, their heart, their soul, and the body, it's just going to follow. Mm-hmm. Strength, okay? So doing that, you know, and I'm in the wrong place to say this, but institutions do this. They work the mind. And it's good. We need it. But we don't work so much, the institution do not work, you know, so much the heart and the soul. So because of that, we are lacking something. In a way, you know, in analogy, it's like learning to swim in a classroom with a textbook without jumping into the water. Right. So we struggle. When I came out, you know, from Harding, I thought that I knew what to do. And for 10 years, I struggled and struggled and struggled. And then I struggled, you know, for another 10 years to learn something new that is amazing what is happening right now. If I tell you that we're working right now, you know, with around 3,000 people, if you will see a church coming together to a place, 3,000 people, my name will be all over. Okay? But I want to say, brother, that that's not, this is not moving. Is it moving?
Try it here. Let's see.
There we got it. Thank you. You are holding hands. Okay. So, about 10 years ago, the High Point Church in McKinney, and Brad is the minister there, developed, you know, a vision statement, a mission statement to reach out the Salvadorians in El Salvador. And we made a trip, and we made a presentation there. And there were, you know, about 60 people. And I was speaking, you know, I was either speaking or translating. And I could see, you know, these faces. Those from 30, 40 and up, just looking at me. Not like you, okay? Yeah. Right now. we were not connecting. And I saw all these young people, you know, getting excited. And I said to Paul Newhouse, one of the members, we need to work with the young people here in El Salvador. To find out later that wherever I go, the people who's going to make the difference is the new generation, the young people. And I'm going to give you a little idea of how this is working. For example, José Manuel.
He lives in Dallas. He's a member there at Highland Oaks, where I am. And José Manuel is from Acambar, Guanajuato, Mexico. And he has a younger son, a brother, who was about 4 years ago, 22. And in this city, Acambar, or the village where they live, there was no one else, no any other religions, just the Catholics. Mormons tried, Jehovah's Witness tried, Pentecostal tried, everybody fell. And José Manuel connected, you know, with his brother, but José Manuel, when he left home, his mother and grandmother told him, if you ever change religion, do not come back to this town. Well, he did, okay? And when he went back, he didn't go all the way to his town, but he called his mother and grandmother, I am here. If you don't want me to come in, I won't. And the grandmother said, you're my grandson, please come. So he did, and he was able enough to share the gospel with his younger son, brother. And he came back so excited because he baptized him too. He was the first Christian inside. A young man, 22, and said, there is no way that this guy can make it. So José Manuel came back and said, please come with me. Please come. And I hesitated, you know, finally I did. And we arrived there, you know, at 2 p.m. on a Friday. And my plan was to spend, you know, about as much as I could, you know, in 3 days, training, coaching, getting, you know, Abraham, José Manuel's brother, ready so that he could do, you know, the work. Well, when I got there, and I had been told that any other religious leader, person who will come there, it will be kicked out from the village. So I got there, and here are these people waiting. And the first one said, Brother Sixto. I don't know this guy. He knows my name, and he called me brother. And I start thinking, well, I've been told that all these people are Catholic. Well, he started just telling me, you know, his troubles, marriage, and on and on and on. Behind him is another guy, Omar. And Omar said, I heard that you were coming, and I have so much problem with drugs, and I've been selling drugs, and he wasn't that far saying that. What he did not say is that he has been in a group, organized crime, kidnapping people. Those two guys and the wife of Jose, the first one, were baptized the next day. So we started, you know, with this around 2, and then I thought, you know, okay, it's going to be over, and then we can get, you know, I can get with Abraham, you know, training and working with him. People never stop coming until we closed, you know, around 9:30, and we told them, you know, come back tomorrow. And they did. At 8 in the morning, they were knocking the door again. One of the best experiences, you know, of people lining up to talk, that's when changed my life a lot, you know, on how I see ministry. So, there is a church in Acambar, Guanajuato, because of that. And the connection was José Manuel, who lives in Dallas. So let me tell you a couple more, and I'm going to tell you how this is working. Janet is from Bolivia, but lives in Dallas. You know what Janet has done? She went across, right there in Dallas, across the street, and the homes, you know, on her right, left side. And he has brought, you know, basically the whole community
to Christ. But not only that, she has been doing Bible classes through video conference or telephone calls in Bolivia and also in Germany. Why Germany? Because Latinos are all over the planet. He has connections there, okay? So Janet, you know, has done a great job on that. Juan Palacios, anyone knows Juan Palacios from Pecos, Texas? I went over, you know, to do a training on disciple making in Pecos, Texas. And I did not know Juan, he did not know me. And I got there, you know, Friday night. The training was supposed to be the next day. Never had talked to Juan and somebody else, you know, the arrangement. And he was supposed to be there in his church. And I just went over, you know, to the building on Friday night. And it happens that he was there. There was another meeting. So I introduced myself. And he said, you are Sixto. And he's a very straight guy. He said, I want to tell you that what I have heard about you is not good. And then he said, but I don't believe until I find out for myself. You are welcome to do the teaching, but if I find something tomorrow that I don't like, I will tell you right there. So the next day, you know, I'm teaching there, and about 15 minutes in the first section, he said, wait. And I said, I'm in trouble now. He said, stop. He said, I never heard this, something like this before. Let me bring the camera, the video camera. I need to take this. And Juan Palacios, after that, had been going all over West Texas and North part of Mexico, teaching disciple making. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about this later. But I just made a trip to last month to March to Chihuahua. And we had a great experience there. I'm going to tell you more in a moment. And we went also into one of the prisons and did a training, disciple making training for almost 4 hours. There, okay. And then I came back to Texas. And I called Juan and said, hey, listen, we had this experience there in Chihuahua. And he said, I just baptized a guy from there who crossed the border. He killed 26 people there, and he's running away. He was baptized last Sunday. And we're going to bring more about this in a moment, how the connections happens, you know, if we understand what is going on. So basically, I'm there in Dallas, and I have connection in so many places. So the question is, what can we do to really connect with people here, you know, and with people back home from wherever we are talking to? If we are just intentional, every single person that is here in the United States has relatives, has friends. So if we are intentional, all we need to do is to ask, is there somebody back home that can benefit from the gospel as you are now? And you know what? I have people now talking to their relatives, having Bible studies all over, you know, Mexico, Central America, in Venezuela, in Bolivia, in Argentina, different places. Just because there was a moment that I thought, okay, we can connect. We can connect. Because there is a video conference way, there is a call, telephone that can be made, and it's possible to have a Bible study going on with people. So I'm doing that. And we are reaching the lost in a way that is very impacting. And I and some other people went over to El Salvador last December. And it was Brad's first trip to El Salvador, am I correct? And we went over to this place where Carlos Seguizabo has been doing some work just about a year and a half, and he has about 160 people in that period of time. And he studied in a little more in the traditional way. He went to a place, and they were meeting there. But he did these house groups all over this town, and suddenly he find out, you know, that there is trouble for some people from this side, you know, to come to this center, and from the other side. So he decided, you know, not to rent anymore. He has about 12 different places that meet during the week, and on Sunday there are two churches, one on this side and the other one on this side. And I said, this is working. Then we moved to another city, and this guy had been working a little longer, and just last year, early last year, they were asking for, he was asking for more, for a loan, for money, you know, to buy a place so that they can meet because they were growing. And they asked, you know, High Point, and High Point said, we don't have that money. So Cecilia said, okay, this place where we're meeting is not enough anymore. So guess what he did? Meet in two places, not renting one anymore. And by meeting to places, I mean that they go, you know, to a house big enough or with a space big enough, and it's where they meet. Those two churches are growing, you know, as any other in El Salvador. But that's in El Salvador. What about where you live here in the U.S.? I'm going to tell you this. If you know Highland Oaks, if you come to Highland Oaks, the Latino church, if we get all of them together on Sunday, it's going to be 150, 160. But in the last 3 years, that church has grown to about 400. But you don't see them on Sunday. So 10 miles or 10 minutes north, we have another church. And 10 minutes west, there is another church, all combined, about 400 people. So what we did, I just trained people to reach out, to build communities of believers. Actually, that's not the right way to say it. I just trained people to incarnate Jesus through them in Latino communities so that Jesus can redeem them. And tell me this, have you seen a church in our fellowship that can grow, you know, from 150 to 400 in 3 years? But this is what happened. When I did this training, I knew that I could lose my best leaders in Highland Oaks, and I did. But God is always providing, you know, new ones. And those new ones are actually a lot better. Because I can train them, you know, so much better now. Right there in Dallas. And we have, you know, my vision when I started with Genesis Alliance, it was just to start, you know, to plant 10 churches in the Metroplex. And then, you know, the work went out to Mexico, Central, South America. And now we have places like in El Salvador, in Mexico, in Venezuela, building up, you know, communities. And now I said, okay, how about the 50-plus Latinos, millions of Latinos in the U.S.? So I'll be a little bit more on that. My son, Wilmer, got very passionate about incarnating Jesus. And last year, he was asked to do a funeral service for a 24, 25 years old man who was killed. And his wife
asked Wheeler, you know, asked Wilmer to do the funeral. Do you know why he asked Wilmer and not me? There are two reasons. He speaks English. The second one is same age, very much. Okay, they connect. So we were starting, you know, building up this community, and that was like in August. By December, there were about 28 people in this new community, second generation English speaking Latinos. Wilmer is building up a new one right now. It's about 12, 15 people, second generation Latinos. One time I was giving you a little report to my board of trustees of Genesis Alliance, and I was talking about this black person, this Indian person, and this Caucasian who has become a Christian. And one of them said, so Genesis Alliance is supposed to be reaching Latinos. And I said, okay. I don't know if I can take those people back from the kingdom. Ouch. But I said, we have about 3,000 already of Latinos. The point is this. When we train people, when we make disciples, disciples make more disciples. Mm-hmm. Regardless, race, language, it's just whatever connection they have. And this is the most beautiful thing that I have seen, because I don't have to think one way. So when you guys ask me, you know, are you reaching first generation? Yes. Second generation? Yes. Caucasian? Yes. Black? Yes. Indian? Yes. Because I don't have control. Just train people to make disciples. That's all it takes, you know, for that. The rest is in that person and it's in that hands. Okay, so what is going on is something like this. I'm going to tell you more about this trip to Mexico. I went over there, you know, and I worked with two churches. And we did four trainings in 1 week, four different places. And one of them was in the prison. And we met, you know, we went inside and not knowing what to expect, I just knew, you know, that all these people are criminals, because that's what they are in prison. So I walk in, and here are these, you know, about 40, 50 men waiting right there at the door. And I see them, you know, and I say, what's going on? And I was with two other guys going in, and this prisoner started hugging us. And say, welcome, please come. And we went inside, you know, to a place where they meet. And I never have seen, you know, people with nothing trying to accommodate me and do whatever they can as these people. And we went through, you know, this process for about 4 hours. And just when we were about to leave, one of the guys said, please, please, before you leave, tell me what to pray for you. I feel bad. I should have asked that question. So there are about 40, there are about 400 people, you know, in this prison, and about 40 are Christians. So when we went, come out, I asked Tony, who is Luis? Luis is the preacher inside the prison. And I said, who is Luis? What he did? Why he's in? He killed a woman, and he was cut just when he was born in the body. Okay? And who is Arnoldo? Arnoldo is 24 years old. He said, Arnoldo is there because he has killed, he's a mercenary, he killed 23 people. 24 years old. The best two leaders inside. And I said, really? And I said, that Luis has family here in the city? And he said, yes. The woman you met yesterday, Martina, is his wife.
Was she a Christian before? And she said, no. He asked me to visit her and share the gospel. And last week, he baptized two of her, a son and a daughter, from Martina. You see how the connection is happening? Inside the prison, outside, reaching both. So we're going to come back to this a little bit more in a minute. How this has happened. And pay attention, you know, to people. Drug dealers. The guy, you know, that I baptized there in Guanajuato, he was not just a drug dealer. He was a kidnapper. These are the people, you know, that we're reaching out. How about this? There are two guys who have been starting, you know, to become witchcraft guys. And now they're sharing the gospel.
I get to meet him. Yeah.
He met one of them. Okay. Real people, real sinners, and several of these. And this is another one that just happened, you know. Also, I went over, you know, to the city of Chihuahua with Paul, and Paul has a church, you know, that has been going on for, I don't know, some time. And they have a space there for about 140, 150 people that meet on Sunday. And we did this training. And then they went out the next week, and they contacted, you know, one of the AA groups. And they show up, you know, on Sunday. And the next following Sunday, there were two more groups, three AA groups, show up, you know, in church. And the church did not know what to do because they don't have enough seat for them. So now they're standing, you know, the Christians, the members, against the wall so that these three AA groups can have a seat. So Paul called me and said, I have a problem. I don't know what to do. I don't have space. Isn't that a good problem? This is what's going on if we connect. Back in 2010, when I started really, you know, doing this, what I'm doing right now, I went over to El Salvador and I did a training for about 6 hours, and there were about 50 plus people. 11 of them were preachers, and in the city of San Miguel, and the city of San Miguel is hot. So after, you know, this long day, the preacher asked me, hey, come with us to have dinner, and we're sitting there, and I said, well, what do you think about this training? Every one of them, including my brother-in-law, who's a preacher, said, that doesn't work here. And I felt bad. Then I came out from that meeting, and I came across with my nephew, Ever, who is now studying at the International Bible Institute. And he said, uncle, this is the best thing that I have ever heard. I'm going to do this. And he started, you know, reaching out university students because he was university student. And then my brother, who works for the government, I came across also with him, same day, just about 30, 50 minutes apart from Heather and my brother, Hale. And he said, you know what? That is super. I'm going to do that. I know I can do that with my co-workers. And these two guys attend my brother-in-law church. And I thought, there is no way that they can make it, because their leader doesn't believe in it. But I did not want to say this to them. So, okay, let me know how I can help. About 8 weeks later, I mean months, each one would then have 25, 30 people. And they start showing up, you know, on Sunday in church and started, you know, being born again people. So my brother-in-law called me and said, hey, I think this is working. Can you come back? And that church, you know, grew from 130 to about 300 in 2 years. And now there are more churches coming out from that particular one
because when we build, you know, this community start becoming, you know,
new churches. Okay, so I'm telling you, you know, what to do, and this is what I want to say, you know.
If the Apostle Paul were living today, will he do church as we have? And the answer is no. I don't believe that he will. He will use, you know, the internet. He will use the social media. He will use the phone. He will use your social media. He will try to send the gospel all over the planet. And this is what I want to say about young people. When I go, you know, to Mexico, Central, South America, and here in the U.S., I'm finding out that the young people have very much just one language. I go to Mexico, Central, South America, you know, and they know about the baseball teams in the U.S., the basketball, the Super Bowl. They know, and they know so much that they have the same language, the young people. And we are not thinking about them. It's so easy to connect internationally with those people because there are so much things in common. Paul will use social media big time. Video conference. And that's what I, you know, decided to do, and I cannot tell you, you know, so much about that. So Jesus says, go, and I believe we can do a lot. Now, if we think differently, if we come out from the box in which we either created ourselves or somebody created for us and we are in it, we cannot see, you know, beyond that. So we need to get out from there to see what God can do right now. Anyway, I dream that, yes, with Genesis Alliance, we're going to be touching, you know, every single country in disciple-making in the next few years. And I want to say this. When I was here in Mexico in March, I'm like, touch, you know, this guy, this inmate, and I don't know why he's in, but he looks rough, tough guy, you know. And I said, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? And he said, yes. Not like hobby. Yes. You know. And I said, do you believe that he died in your place? And this tough guy looked down and cried. Just cried. Jesus Christ is real to those people. And what I'm saying this morning is, if we are intentional, especially with the young people, those who know about social media, those who know about phone, those who know internet all over Latin America, we can be reaching people in for Christ as never before. Think about that. And if I can help in any way, I'll be happy to help you. And I see Dan coming down, so I have to.
Thank you. Whenever I listen to Sixto, I'm reminded that the Lord did not tell us to go and plant churches. That's he didn't say go into all the world and plant churches. And as a missiologist, that's what I heard. But you remind us that Jesus sent us to make disciples. And disciples, as Paul would say, who make other disciples. And when we do that, I think it's impossible to contain everything in the box. Because the Lord, as we know when we read the book of Acts, sends people even beyond the grasp of the apostles in Jerusalem. They don't quite understand what's going on. Because the church is growing beyond their control. But it never was in their control, was it? Thank you for reminding us of that very important message, Sixto. In just a moment, we'll have another class. I wanted to just to remind you of an opportunity to learn more about equipping women to connect to God and to one another. This conference is coming up, a Ladies' Day retreat. It's going to be in English and Spanish, bilingual. Our hermanas back here who can help us learn more about this very special ministry. So Michelle Goff is back there. Michelle, would you just raise your hand? Visit with her during the break.